Tes Vov Kislev, Sunday the 11th of December, Rabbi Shimshon Silkin, Hanukkah, the antidote to Esau.
So indeed, as the title suggests, we are heading towards Hanukkah, and we are learning the parashas of Yaakov's struggle with Esau. And although Hanukkah is primarily focused on Golos Yovan as opposed to Golos Edom, which is Esau, nevertheless, they are very much related, and in fact, there are some Rishonim that learn Golos Yovan and Golos Edom are actually the same Golos. Ben Ezra, for example, famously quoted by the Ramban, says that Golos Yishmael is a Golos all unto itself, separate from Esau, which is what we're living through now, probably. And therefore, Yovan and Edom, he says, are one Golos. Even according to those Rishonim that say it's a separate Golos, there's no question that Golos Edom is a spin-off from Golos Yovan. So there's a lot of correspondence between these parashas and the build-up to Hanukkah with regards to understanding what is Esau's attitude towards Yaakov and how that was overcome during the time of Hanukkah. So first of all, we just read the words that Esau comes towards Yaakov and he embraces Yaakov. Vayoros Esau likrosoi vayichab kehu. Vayipol al tzavorov vayishokehu. Vayishokehu means that he kissed him. But as everybody knows, the letters of the word vayishokehu all have a nakuda on top, says Rashi. Vayishokehu nokud olov. It's menukud. It has dots on the top. Vayesh chok in the dobah hazeh, but Brisa disagree. There is a debate in the Brisa as to why this word is dotted or what the message of the vayishokehu is supposed to be. Yeshadorshu nokuduzu loimar sheloi noshkoi b'chol liboy. The reason that it is written this way, menukud, is to teach you that even though he kissed him, but he didn't kiss him with all his heart. It was a half-hearted gesture. And then Rashi says, Omar Abshun Vayichai, Halochi hi biyodua she'esov soine le'yakov. It's a well-established fact that Esau hates Yaakov. He's a soine le'yakov. Elo she'nichmaru rachama bo'iz ha'shor v'noshkoi v'chol liboy. It's just at that moment in time, his rachamim, his mercy was stirred, and therefore he kissed him properly. So the debate in the Sifri is, was it a wholehearted Vayishokehu, or was it a half-hearted Vayishokehu? But either way, it's quite clear what Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai is saying, Halocha biyodua, it is an established reality, that Esau is soine liyakov. Esau has sinner towards Yaakov, as a rule. This might have been the exception to the rule. So the question is, what is Pshat, Esau soine liyakov? What is the definition of a soine? We find in other places as well, for example, in Devarim, Alo Yivecho Va'al Soneecho, Rashi says, the Bein HaBachai says, Soneecho Zu Esav. A Sone is often synonymous with Esav. The concept of Sino is related to Esav. If we look in Parashas Baha, Alo Yisucho, and we look at the words that we say every time we take the Sefer Torah out of the Oran, we say, Vayhi Min Soneh HaOran, Vayoyim Emoyshe, Kumba Hashem, V'yofutsu oyevecho, v'yonusu misanecho, miponecho. But there is two expressions here. V'yofutsu oyev, and v'yonusu soine. The word v'yofutsu, which means to scatter, is related to an oyev. And the word v'yonusu, which means to flee, is related to a soine, says Rashi. What is an oyev and what is a soine? And why is one viofutsu and why is one viyonusu? Says Rashi, viofutsu oyevecho hamechunosim. Now there is a debate as to what Rashi means. There are commentaries on the commentary. What does it mean, hamechunosim? But hamechunosim, some say the pshat is, obviously it means those that are gathered together. Some say it means those that are within the camp. And some say it means those that are gathered on the hill opposite the camp. But either way, it means that they are sort of the enemy within. That is what an oyev is, somebody who is within. Whereas a soine, says Rashi, v'yonusu misanecho elu horoifim. Roifim are pursuers, people that run from a distance. And therefore, it makes sense that the Oyev requires a Veyofutsu, because they are gathered within, they need a hafotza, they need to be scattered. The cat needs to be set, so to speak, amongst the pigeons to make them scatter. And viyonusu applies to a mesane, to a soine. Why? Because the definition of a soine is someone who's chasing from a distance. So the opposite of that is viyonusu. They should flee in the opposite direction. That is why you have viyofutsu with oyevecha, why you have viyonusu with mesanecha. So what we learn from there is that the definition of a soine is somebody that chases from afar, that comes from a distance. And the Sfarim say that a soine, for that reason, is worse than an oyev. Because an oyev can be somebody who might be living next door. The oyev might be a neighbor. Why does a neighbor not get along with his neighbor? Because the music is turned up too high late at night, because he's always parking across your driveway, right? Because when it's windy, the rubbish is always blowing out of his bin across your garden. Yeah? So we're not giving it an excuse, but at least it makes sense that when two people live within close proximity of each other, there's a lot of potential for friction. There's a lot of potential for discord, because that's what neighbours are about. You live close by each other. It's difficult sometimes to get along. Whereas somebody that lives in another town, or in another country, or at a great distance, right? What are they bothering you? What are they bothering you? They're not bothering you. For you to have to come and chase them down from a distance, right? It almost seems inexcusable, right? Normally, you know, people that live in the same shul, there's always politics within the shul, right? People don't have the same sort of feelings with regards to the gabba of the shul, you know, the other end of town. It's not the same, right? Because you're not living next to each other. We're not giving an excuse to an oyev where there is eva, but where there is sino, it would appear that sino is something that is without real reason. Right, and this is Takav the Ramban that says by Yisroel Tzitzu Habonim Bekirvo, that already before Yaakov and Esav were born, Esav was chasing Yaakov down. Long before Yaakov had taken the Bechorah, and long before he had taken the Brochas as a result of taking the Bechorah, it's not as if that was the excuse for Esav. Esav doesn't need an excuse, that is why he is a Soine. He is a Soine Liyakov rather than an Oyev Liyakov, because the definition of a Soine is someone, as Ramban says, is Hashem Ha'osid, that he would be chasing him down without necessarily a precursor to the creation of that problem. Right? So it's a remarkable thing that this is indeed something that we find throughout the ages, that the excuse comes later. There seems to be oftentimes a built-in sinner towards Yaakov, and then later they throw in the reasons why they feel that sinner. Right? We know that the great sociologists throughout time have studied the trend of anti-Semitism, and have discovered that for every reason that people give for their hatred towards the Jews, there's always an opposite reason that's just as strong, right? They're accused of everything from opposite ends of the spectrum. Too lazy, too busy, you know, too capitalist, too communist, too powerful, too weak, too rich, too poor. I could say it in front of the Oran, quote, Lloyd George, I think it was, that said, "Whatever you hate, the Jew is that." Sadly, not funny. The Shaila is Favos. We see this realization of Esav Soine Le'akov, not Oyev Le'akov, to chase down from a distance and then later discover why there's this hatred. But the Shaila is Favos. So Zohar Kodesh state, Vayehav Yitzchok is Esav. That's not Zohar, that's impossible. Vayehav Yitzchok is Esav Kitzayit Befid the Yitzchok hated. Yitzchok loved Esav. That's a Freudian slip. The Yitzchok loved Esav. Why did Yitzchok love Esav? Shem Zohar Kodesh. Oyev Mines Minoi. So state. Oyev Mines Minoi. The truth is, you don't have to go all the way to the Zohar. But if you look reading the Brochas stuff, Chesel and Beis, state Dothan, with regards to Avraham and his relationship with Yishmael, then we know that Yishmael was the dark side, so to speak, of Avraham Avinu. Where Avraham Avinu was the Omud HaChesed in the world, Yishmael was also the Omud HaChesed in the world, except his Chesed was corrupted, right? And therefore Yishmael becomes what's known as Shtufei Zimon. It's a statement in Chazal. And we know exactly, we know from in Achremos that the reference to Znus, Ki Chesedu, right? That sometimes When chesed is uncontrolled, it can materialize into a form of zima and znus. So Yishmael did take his energy, did take his status and his way of life from Avraham Avinu as the Omud HaChesed, chesed that was kosher, chesed that was tahor, and converted it into another type of chesed. See, Maharal, in the Gro, sorry, on that Gemara, it says that the same is true with regards to Yitzchok. That Yitzchok was the Omud HaDin, Omud HaGvura, Omud HaPachad. And he also had two sons, Yaakov and Esav. And Esav also adopted the Midas HaDin of Yitzchok. Esav personifies Din in the way that Yishmael personified Chesed, but in a certain sense, in a way that does not necessarily relate to the Chesed of Avraham and the Din of Yitzchok. But this is what it says. That Esav somehow represents the middle of Din in the world. So the Sforim tried to explain, what is it about Esav? What is it about Din that make these two ideas connected, that make them synonymous? So the quote also, it's a medrash at the end of last week's parashah, it's also brought down Mishem Zoya in Shemois, where Yishmael says, Onu b'nei kel chai, bonu misyakel shmoi. Esav says, we are the be-all and end-all of creation. We are the children of Keil Chai, and Bonu Misyakir Shmoy, through us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name is glorified. We are the center of the universe. We are the reason that the world is put here in the first place. We are for the world, and the world is for us. This is the opinion of Esav. In the Medrash I quoted before, the Lashon there is, Bishvileinu Nivra Ha'olam. Because of us, the entire world is brought into creation. Esav considers himself self-justified. In Esau's mind, in Esau's opinion, the world is here for them. This is an aspect of their Midas HaDin. We justify our very existence. We justify our functioning on earth because the earth was designed for us. We fulfill the purpose of life itself. So we are self-justified. We are Mechayev Esatzmeinu, so to speak. In the Gross, interesting, it's brought down. The Gross says that it's for this reason, that even though it's brought down in Halugus Furim, that Esav is Yonik from the red planet, what I think we refer to as Mars today, and this is the concept of Edoim, nevertheless, they are Yonik from Ma'adim, but they serve the sun, which is called Shemesh, but it's also called Chama, which is Chema, which is Fury, which is also connected to Edoim, to the concept of red. But the Shemesh, the reason why that's related and why they follow a solar calendar is because that's the center of the universe. Everything revolves around the sun, which, by the way, is a recent scientific discovery. If they would have learned the Zohar, they would have learned this a long time ago. They used to think that the Earth was the center of the solar system. But Al-Kapon had learned Chazal, like with many scientific discoveries, all they need to do is learn Chazal, and they would have caught up a lot quicker. Al-Kapon, everyone could have learned the Ramban, and Sohim Avoyil would have known that the world wasn't in a steady state, so they would have known about a concept of a beginning. Anyway. But the idea there is that everything revolves around Esav. This is, as the Sforim say, the Olam HaAsir, a world of action. And Esav is Asir. Esav is Maaseh. Esav are the ones that belong here. This is why Esav says to Yaakov, Yesh li rov. Yesh li rov doesn't mean I have a lot. Yesh li rov means that inherently I contain the middah of his ravrus, of ribui, of divide and conquer. Of more, of building an empire, of taking on more. Because this world is mine. So whatever I have is never enough. Because everything beyond what I have is also part of my empire. It's just a matter of time till I take it. Esau can't contain the concept that there's something in the Olam HaAsir that doesn't naturally fall under his jurisdiction and protection. What does that have to do with Yaakov? It's everything. Because Yaakov, on the other hand, could not be more opposite. As much as Esav considers himself the center of life on planet Earth, Yaakov, as the grandson of Avraham, doesn't belong on planet Earth b'chlal, has no shaychus here whatsoever. And Esav knows that. And it says in the Sforim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took Avraham outside. Vayotzei oseh hachutzo. Took him outside. Well, outside. Everybody lived outside. I have to remember, in those days, people spent 90% of their time outside. There wasn't anywhere to go. Elamai doesn't mean he took him just outside the tent, rather the Sforim say took him outside the entire universe, took him beyond. And he said, Koi Yezaracha, you Be'etzem have no Shaychus here. You cannot have children. Your wife can't have children. Impossible. But nevertheless, I will place you here on earth in a sort of a condition called Hachutza, where Be'etzem you don't have a Mokrim, you don't have a place, your Mitzias really cannot be justified, but nevertheless, you will be here nonetheless. What's Esau's reaction to Yaakov's existence? Esau's reaction to Yaakov's existence, Esau's approach to Yaakov is, if you are going to be here, then you need to justify that. That's your duty. Esau, the Sforim say, is mechayev Yaakov to justify his very existence in a world that is not designed for his existence. Esau takes Yaakov to court. Esau puts Yaakov in the dock and says, give me a good reason that you should exist b'chal in this world that is b'shvileinu nivro. That is bonu mis Yaakov shmoy. Mehecha teisa. Literally. Mehecha te. Where are you coming from? Vos tus tuga. What is your shaykhus to a world that is really designed for an Esau? This is the Midas Adin, this forum explain. That Esau exhibits towards Yaakov, that he yarshin from his father Yitzchak. That Esau would constantly be the prosecuting attorney that would demand from Yaakov to go hire his advocates and his defending lawyers to explain in clear terms, Mehecha Tesa, they should b'chal have a place here. And throughout the ages, throughout the generations, throughout the millennia, Esau has performed this task to perfection, demanding of Yaakov on a regular basis that they should come up with the answer. We will present the case, you need to come and respond. This is the nature of the din of Yitzchak that was passed on to Esau. That Esau now shows this midas hadin towards Yaakov. Just like he self-justifies himself, he therefore also needs to make Yaakov justify himself as well. It's a remarkable thing this, because b'negei on the moshel to Eretz Yisrael, I believe the ambassador spoke recently, right? And I read some of the transcript of the speech. And I don't have it here, but the basic message that he was saying is, where do you find in the world that a nation, a sovereign nation, a country, needs to, b'chlal, defend its very existence? People have to argue about the conditions, people have to argue about their politics, people have to argue about borders perhaps, but not b'chlal, that they exist. He said, people tell him, I'm a good friend of Israel, I believe in Israel's right to exist. He says, Shkoyach, thank you very much. To accept a right to exist, he says, where do you find in the world that the conversation begins from that point? But Klal Yisrael on a regular basis have to stand in the dock, right, and defend themselves, but Klal that they even exist, that there isn't such an existence. It's a remarkable thing where maps are drawn, right, defying absolute geographic reality. Eretz Yisrael, there's no such thing. Doesn't exist. Prove to me that you exist. Prove to me that you have a right to exist. This is the nature of the din of Esau, that he is Mechayev Yaakov to stand and defend itself and say, Mehecha Tesa. This is the definition of Sinah. It's not as if something happens and therefore Esau responds. That's evil. That's a nonsense. People try to find reasons. Why do people hate the Jews? What's the world's problem with Klal Yisrael? Right, they try and delve and ask and discover. And they become ever more confounded. For every reason that you can discover, there's just as good an opposite reason against it. It's almost like Newton's third law. It's unbelievable. For every excuse, for every reason, you've got a reason that is just as strong pointing the other direction. And it's mind-boggling. Because they're trying to discover what's the Eivor. But it's not Eivor. It's Sinner. And Sinner doesn't need excuses. They'll be very different. The other end of the world, they'll come. Because your very existence on planet Earth is what irks them. Because that's the duty of the Midas Adin of Esau. To demand an answer. If we can provide an answer, which will come to in a moment, then that's a good thing. But we will always be asked the question. The question will be hanging over our heads until the end of time. Until Yaakov finally catches up with Esau, as Rashi says. But you know that Sfarim say that this is the reason. Now, nothing's arbitrary. But this is the reason, of course, that Golus Edoim was facilitated and instigated by Sinas Chinam. This is not Stam in Veltarayim. It could have been anything. But it's specifically Sinas Chinam amongst the Yidin that gives Koyach to the Sinah, which ultimately is always Chinam, of Esav. If there is Sinah that is unjustified amongst Yidin, then there is unjustified Sinah towards you that comes from Esav. So the whole of Golus Edoim was instigated initially and continues to perpetuate itself as a result of the sinner that is existing, specifically sinner that is existence amongst Klal Yisrael. What is the response, Taka? What is the defense counsel against an Esav that says Mehechatesa? So for this, the Targum goes in Parshas Balak. I don't have the words in front of me, but everybody's familiar with the words, not least because it's been turned into a lovely song. And the pasuk says, "Ki merosh tzurim erenu, u'migavoyed asherenu." Not hen am, but hen am. Levodo dishkoin, u'vagoyim lo yischashov. Poshutaych, hen am levodo dishkoin. A nation dwells alone. Uvagoyim, and amongst the nations, lo yischashov. It's not considered. It's not. Some taich recognized. Some taich recognized. Different ways of taichu what lo yischashov means. But the Targum Yonasan says this, brought down in Sfarim also. Hein am levodo yishkoin. When the nation stands alone, then uvagoyim lo yischashov. What does it mean alone? That it's identifiable. That it's individualized, that it has a contained identity. You can point it and say, aha, you. When it is hein om levodo dishkoin, then uvagoyim lo yischashov. Not that it's not recognized, that's when it's not bothered about. That's when it doesn't become the focus and the focal point of the United Nations. Why does Klal Yisrael sometimes become the be-all and end-all, it would appear, of some of these security meetings? What is it about? When they are not levodo dishkoin. It's only when hen am is levodo dishkoin. They're not thinking about Yidden all day long. They used to have a phrase in America, Jews are news. Now, this tiny country, this tiny people on earth, that basically, statistically, does not exist. Because you constitute 0.227% of the world's population. Which round is the nearest decimal point is zero, right? Right. Nevertheless, how can you say lo yischashov 25% of Nobel prizes across all industries, and nevertheless they don't exist? Vos epis the ganze Welt tummelt sich because of one little nation. Leave them alone already. Because it's not levod dod yishkoin. It's only when hen am levod dod yishkoin. People think that they need to be not levod, that one needs to be become assimilated, what do they say in Germany before the war? Germany is our motherland and Berlin is our Jerusalem. And what happened? They said, well, they call it a sociological phenomenon. We don't like you because you are like us. Esav is mechayev that Klal Yisrael is levodod, and when it's not levodod, then yischashov. That's the problem. I'm resolving pshat in the pasuk heinam levodod yishkoim, and it continues. If I go in lo yischashov, and they don't become reckoned, they don't become counted. Loshon cheshbon, they're not counted amongst the nations because they are levodod. This is the essential din of Esav. The Esav demands from Yaakov that they're able to stand and say levodod, and as it's one to say, if they're not levodod yishkoim, it is echo yoshvo vodod. This is the nature that Esau will never let Klal Yisrael become too not levodod. They would always demand that Yaakov stands up and proudly defines itself and identifies itself. When Kol Zman is levodod, then it's not my then it's Magoyim lo yischashov. Vashteisach, that's Taishin in the pasuk. That's not Taishin the pasuk. That's Taishin the pshat as to why Yaakov in his struggle with Esau, in the spiritual struggle with Esau, before they hit each other physically, of course, stayed by Yvose Yaakov Levado, by Ovig Ishimoy. It wasn't Stam, there's a detail in the story. It's the whole story. It was Yaakov's ability to stand the Vad, to stand the Vadoi for the entire night of Golos, until Adalos HaShochah, also a song, Adalos HaShochah, that Yaakov is able to overcome the overtures and the power of Yaakov, of Esau, because he is Vayivose Yaakov Levadoi. It's a king, the Medrash says, it's a king to the Nisko of Hashem Levadoi. Right? Just like Kodesh Baruch Hu is Levad, Af Yisrael Levad. Vayivose Yaakov Levadoi is the response to Esau, who tries to make them non-Levadoi, or tries to demand, tries to demand of them that they do represent levadness, that they are individualized, that they are identified. Esau ensures that Yaakov always, at some point, will have to re-identify itself and make itself strong. This is a major nesoyim for our generation, the truth. Simcha Wasserman already said that the challenge of the final generation leading up to, during Ifsit and Mashiach, leading up to Achris HaYomim, is what he calls identity. People have forgotten how to identify themselves. People don't take pride in their identity. People don't know who they are. People don't even know if they're people anymore. Emmets. Emmets don't know if they're people anymore. In America, they have an organization which is akin to the RSPCA, but it's just a bit more radical, which is called PETA, which stands for the People for Ethical Treatment of Animals. Right? And their tagline is, a cat is a rat, is a dog, is a boy. A cat is a rat, is a dog, is a boy. They ran a campaign against Kentucky Fried Chicken in America not so many years ago, and had a picture of Yidden in a concentration camp on one side. On the other side, they had a picture of a chicken, and tagline was "Holocaust on your plate." They ran studies in Los Angeles in schools, and they asked the students, high school students, they created a scenario where you're driving down the road and a fox and a young child runs out in front of your car. Which one do you swerve to avoid? Okay? I won't tell you the results of those studies if you want to sleep tonight. This is what it's become, because we've forgotten the Mechamon means. Never mind boys and girls, that's already gone way out the window. People haven't got a clue. So equality has now become same. It's the Ulster Zobazach in the secular society in Gansenfer. But even amongst people and animals. And Yidden, the Zalbazach. Never have we had it before. Ad kedei kach. Who cares? The most fryer Yid for thousands of years. The one thing that they made sure was that the Tochter and the Zun married a nice Jewish boy and a nice Jewish girl. Today, who cares? Bechlal, the argument is wasted. There's no identity. There's no levodot anymore. Ad kedei Zalbazach, Vagoyim Yischasho. And then they wonder why Vagoyim Lo Yischasho. This is Esav. Esav has a duty, also midas adin the hiyarshim, to ensure. Of course, this is Haman the grandson. I know it's the wrong analysis, but Haman is the grandson of Esau, right? Only after Klal Yisrael mutzachdoten with all the mitzachdoten, with all the fine members of Achashverosh and his cohorts, right? Right? Punkt after that, what does Haman say? After they mamish assimilated nicely, Yeshnoi Amecha, Mefuzo Mefoy Ben Amin, with those same Shoinois, Mikolom! They're so weird, these people. They're so strange. They're so different. Different! We cannot be more similar. We're drinking your wine. We're marrying your children. Shoinois, Mikolom! What's also Tom and Chanukah? Everything also Tom and Chanukah. Because the Koyach of Edom, as we said before, Yashin, Yovan demands from Klal Yisrael on a more intellectual, more philosophical standpoint. Vos heses ana yi. Yovan began this argument. Esau comes with a sword. He has more of a brutish approach to demanding this din. Yovan tries to get inside the mind. Come on. Mayesh already. So for this reason, we learn already during the parashas of Vayishlach, Vayeshev already moves on to also previously in Vayeta. The parashas of Bereishis as a build up to Chanukah is the argument, is the demand that Esau throws up, Esau and Yochum throw up, that they ask Mehechet Esau Am Yisrael and this world. And if we can't answer if also Yaakov Levadoi, then we have a major problem. Then maybe Yaakov would never have become Yisrael. And then over time, very briefly, This is Taka the Brocha that Moshe Rabbeinu leaves Klal Yisrael with. And he says, right at the end, Klal Yisrael want protection. Right at the end of Devarim. Vayishkoin Yisrael betach bodod ein Yaakov. Klal Yisrael's betach, Klal Yisrael's betochen, Klal Yisrael's bituach, Klal Yisrael's security, Klal Yisrael's protection is synonymous and connected directly to bodod ein Yaakov. When is Yisrael betach? When is ein Yaakov that is bodod? I saw also brought down that everybody knows the Mishnah in Sotah that says at the end of time, chutz b'yazke, one of the simonim of Moshiach coming is chutzpah yazke. Chutzpah, right? Now, anyone who's got children, and anyone who teaches in the school, right, they don't need any convincing. Right? This is not because of your own children, because of the friends that they bring home. But we know that the chazir, which is the dugma, as Medrash says, of Esav, right? Because outside, externally, is tzayt befiv. Externally looks good, but internally is corrupt. Right? This is the chutzpah of the Achras Hayomim, where it's Yaske, where Esav Mamish takes on unbelievable chutzpah. It could be that the chutzpah is the pointing of the finger to Yaakov and says, "Man, what are you doing here? What are you doing here? You don't exist." Now, in the hallowed halls of the world's great governments, Israel, right? Uns Yidden, that have been there and have done it for thousands of years, given the world this moral soul, have the biggest claim than anybody. We're the ones on the defensive, on the back foot, having to defend not what we represent, not what we teach. We got there. Bechlal, we exist. Bechlal, the chutzpah has never been so yaske. The ganze Welt, and who knows what's coming. Muzayin that the antidote to that is Chanukah, and with regards the mechanech the door, in understanding what levodod means, what says the Zaynayi, to take a deeper pride, to push it home to our children. I'm not just talking about the Yidden out there that haven't got a clue, but once Yidden inside the Olam Acharedi, inside the Olam HaTorah, it's not so clear just because they can learn Rashi Tosis that every single Yid, if I state properly, deeply, what it means that I'm a Yid, where I come from, where we come from, where we are, where we're going. Right? This is what Esav says to Yaakov, where you're coming from. We need to answer those questions. If we can provide the answers to those questions that Esav throws up towards Klal Yisrael, then we will be zochet to Vayish Goyim Yisrael Betach Bodov in Yaakov.